still the law here in hour two of day two of the work week. We've got Julia. We've got Brittany. Mm-hmm. I don't need to play that song. There's a bad word in it.
We have Rocco.
That's true.
Rocco, who I keep calling Donnie.
That's all right.
It's just the male voice.
It's a compliment.
It's the male voice.
He built this show from the ground up.
Did he? I agree. Okay, so tonight is a big night.
It's a huge night.
There's a lot of different things happening, but one of the big things for those of us who are starting to rely on our television more and more and more as the evenings get darker earlier and earlier, The Bachelorette.
Julia, will you accept this rose?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, please. All right.
Tonight.
Tell us about it.
ABC.
Claire, all right.
We've got Claire Crawley. For somebody like me, it's hard to say her last name. I don't know why.
Claire Crawley.
Well, Claire Crawley.
That is a hard name. Crawley.
Let's just call her Claire.
All right, fine. Cece.
Okay, and fun fact, Claire is our oldest Bachelorette ever.
Really?
Yes. 39-year-old.
Okay, wow. She's beautiful.
And normally, it's kind of fun. They're switching things up. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be, if you've never watched The Bachelorette, this will be the season to watch because we are living in it's going to be like a broiler in there. They had to do such a closed world because of the pandemic that everything is magnified by 24.
Ooh.
All the freakouts. They can't travel anywhere.
Right?
They can't go anywhere. They can't. And so everything is just way more extreme. Now, also, this is going to be very interesting. If you know anything about The Bachelorette, normally the plot is they grab the loser from the last season, throw her in the seat, right? It's all, we all kind of usually know who they grab.
Sure.
This Bachelorette has had an interesting past. She's from the Juan Pablo season. She's the loser from that season.
Yeah. And he was a loser.
I was going to say, she may have been the winner in some people's eyes.
Such a loser.
Now, that season was such a garbage fire, they honestly couldn't grab anything from it. So she kind of got the short end of the stick. So normally they would throw her into the seat. But it was like they wanted to get away from Juan Pablo as much as possible.
I love it.
So they sentenced Claire to Bachelor in Paradise twice.
Doesn't that look like fun if you were single?
So much fun.
I mean, come on. That doesn't look like a sentencing. You go to a lovely location and you just make out with different people.
But here's the problem.
That kind of looks like fun to me.
I would be there for the free food and booze. And after like 3 weeks, they'd be like, Brittany.
How long do you have to stay?
I mean, the thing is, you can only stay if you have like picked someone else to couple up with. Oh. Like, they all have to, you know, the guys all pick somebody, the girl, they go back and forth. Bachelor.
Do you watch any of this stuff, Rocco?
I do not.
All right.
But I enjoy nice looking.
Yeah, people.
Vapid people. Yeah,
me too.
Not only did they sentence her
for a limited time period
to two Bachelor in Paradise, they also did the unthinkable and put her in Bachelor Winter Games, which was something they tried to make a thing in 2018.
Couple years ago. See, that one I would excel in. I think that sounds fun.
They also did her pretty dirty with some tricky and malicious editing to make her look like she was venting to a raccoon one season.
I did see that.
And so I think it's definitely they owe this to her.
Okay. So what's the drama? Okay. So we heard that she left the show. She fell in love. Someone else is coming on. I mean,
we're looking. I mean, the thing is, I did a deep dive and Chris Harrison, he's locking those lips. He won't tell us why and what happened that caused her to leave. And she also said that anyone who's speculating is wrong.
Oh, all right. So we just have to sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah. And he's also surprised there was a leak because they were in such tight quarantine. So
reality, Steve, if it's spoiler alert, I haven't gone. I never go to that website, but that website always seems to know what's going on.
Another fun thing that I actually might enjoy about this season is they're going to try to make it not look COVID at all. And that's why they did the lockdown. That's why they did the quarantine with each other. They called it the bubble. They all had to stay within the bubble. Yeah. They still tested every day. They had zero cases, so they actually did it right.
Like the NBA.
Yeah. And so Chris Harrison talked about how it's nice watching it because it doesn't look COVID-esque. And I know that's probably to some people bugs them, but I would like some normalcy. And if I'm going to get it somewhere, I'm going to get it in the most insane show, The Bachelorette. They even hug, like, you know, when somebody leaves, people hug and stuff like that. And I just kind of want to watch it that way. I don't want to see people in masks. In my real world, I want to see you in masks. Yep. And My Bachelorette, I would like you maskless.
So it starts tonight. I actually have to admit, I'm ready for it.
I'm ready.
I'm going tonight to the, I think, I don't know if it's the opening night, or doesn't that sound like a weird thing to say, opening night, but the Deadly Drive-In Haunted Experience tonight at Rosedale.
I'm going. At what time?
At 7:30. One car.
We had him on last week.
Yeah,
right?
We had him on last week from Flip Phone Events. It's the Deadly Drive-In Haunted Experience.
You're going to be up late.
No, it's only, I think it's, so you go in a car and you they put a radio in your car and then you go into this loading dock at Herberger's and stuff happens. The old Herberger's at Rosedale. I have no idea.
You're going to have to give us a rundown.
One of my kids is asking, well, what does it do? What is this? And I'm like, I have no idea. Well, what do you think, you know, needs, you know, wants some information?
Yeah.
I'm like, I got nothing. We're just going to go and have fun.
But then after, you're going to watch The Bachelorette?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to be up late.
I always am.
We're gonna need a rundown of what you thought about the drive-in scary.
Oh yeah, but I'm actually really kind of looking forward to doing something different. Don't you think?
A blast.
And I don't know if there's tickets still available, but it's Flip Phone the Deadly Drive-In. You can, you know, just Google it and see, because they added a lot more dates, because it was just going to be like Thursday through Sunday, but it sold out so quickly that they added Tuesday, Wednesdays, you know, I think. So you might want to check that out. They also do the drag brunches at Union or Crave downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, that'll be
on
Sundays.
So anyway, I'm very, very, very excited, and I think Claire is going to be amazing. She's pretty,
and I think it's going to be fun too, because they're also accepting the fact that they're going to have a pretty significant age range on the show.
Okay, so let me ask you, can you share how old you are?
Yeah.
Okay, so how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay, what would if you were single, your dating age range be?
For real. I would say 30 to 45.
Okay, so you prefer older instead of younger.
Yes.
Okay, Rocco?
Sure.
Assuming you're single.
Yeah. I've always aged up.
You've aged up too.
I think so. Although my wife's a half a year younger than me. But yeah, I've always.
Yeah.
I've never been really into the young gals.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? I'm scared to know yours.
No.
I'm terrified.
First of all, let me tell you Lori's.
Yeah.
Because it always used to be a year older than her bonus son and a year younger than her dad. And that's like a big gap. It's like 40 years.
I like
it. So she had a big one.
Yeah.
But I'm finding, you know, I could go younger.
Shocking.
I know, but not really young, but like 10 years. You know?
Okay.
10 years younger.
Yeah.
Or 10 years younger, and I could probably go like maybe 5 years older.
But you have to understand, like, my gap, you start dealing with 20-year-olds.
Well, right.
And I'm not, I get a little older, I'm sure I would be fine with that.
Right.
I'm sure for my second marriage, I will be have a bigger range.
Yes.
But as of right now, the idea of dipping into the 20s as a mid-30-year-old is terrifying.
I understand where you're coming from.
Thank you.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Because the 20s is the decade that...
It's discovery. You got to do your own thing. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And I want to hold anyone back, but I also don't want to...
How many years up would you go?
Up? Let's see.
Who do you have the hots for? I mean, Donnie, does he still have that wall in there?
Yeah, I'm the January Jones picture is kind of doing it for me in here.
Is she 50 maybe?
Is she? I don't know.
She's ageless.
I know, she's beautiful.
I don't know. I might go, you know, 10 years up, 7 years up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is all hypothetical. I'm very happily married.
Well, of course you are. This is all just hypothetical.
I know.
I'm not.
If you're listening.
I'm not married.
I mean, I've been in this relationship since 1998, so I don't even remember.
There's nothing in my life that I've had since 98. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing in your
life? Nothing in my life.
Had.
Not a phone contract, not a pair of shoes.
Oh, you have nothing to show.
I have nothing from 98.
I have two things. I had two kids at that point.
Oh, there you go.
I have them to show.
That's good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's time for Random Thoughts. You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. Okay, have you guys ever taken something from a national park?
Taken?
Stolen something that you weren't supposed to from a national park?
No.
Or from a museum?
No.
Or from a 7-Eleven?
7-Eleven? Yes.
Okay. I did some stuff in the late 80s. Grade. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, this lady, you know how you, you know, you go into these great, she was visiting Pompeii in 2002, and she stole five different artifacts.
Wow.
She stole two white mosaic tiles, two pieces of amphora vase, and a piece of ceramic wall at the Archaeological Park of Pompeii along. So she had it for 15 years, and she has sent it back with a letter saying that she's returning them because she suffered a curse for the past 15 years from stealing these artifacts. And she said that I have a piece of history that couldn't be bought. She was young and dumb at the time, and she even gave something to one of her friends. But she decided to send it back since she had returned to Canada in 2005 after her visit to Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
She suffered two bouts of breast cancer, resulting in a double mastectomy. Her family had been in financial trouble. We can't ever seem to get ahead in life. And she's blaming the bad luck on the tiles. And she said, I took a piece of history captured in time with so much negative energy attached to it. People died in such a horrible way when Mount Vesuvius, or however you say that,
mm-hmm.
Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD. And I took tiles related to this destruction. It has been horrible. And she goes on to say, we are good people, and I don't want to pass that curse on anymore to my family, my children, or myself. Please forgive my careless act I did years ago.
Wow. I bet she felt amazing when she sent that back.
Just to release it. Think of the guilt. I stole a mini bottle of Kahlua from my bar, mini bar at Acapulco when I was in eighth grade, and I felt guilty.
It's similar to a
travel-sized bottle of Kahlua. And I remember feeling such guilt, taking it home in my knee-high socks. Tasted so good. Okay, so anyway.
Same thing. No,
that was probably legal in Mexico back then. Well, stealing Kahlua.
It was medicine to them.
My grandma Lulu took us to Las Brasas, and it was the place with the pink and white stripes. We went on this massive family reunion trip with my cousins from Florida and California and us, and I was in eighth grade. Big boobs, I might add. But probably weighed, it was before my breast reduction.
Yeah, yeah.
And I probably weighed 25 pounds less than I do now. And I remember in the rooms, we all had all the liquor bottles, in our rooms in this big villa. And I tasted some of the Kahlua, and I'm like, oh my God, that tastes so good. I'm going to steal it and take it home in my sock. Think of all the bad luck I must have. But anyway, back to
Pompeii. Did you ever tell your grandma?
I told my mom.
Okay, then you're good.
But I felt so much guilt.
Wears socks in Mexico?
Well, knee-highs.
I went
to a Catholic grade school, and we wore white opaque knee-highs, and for some reason, traveling.
You thought, this is
the right outfit for Acapulco.
You're ahead of your time. They're kind of like those socks.
The compression socks
of when you wear on flights.
Right.
Good for you.
Oh, my gosh. So what Pompeii's Visitor Center is saying is that they get... over the years, around 100 visitors mm-hmm. have returned small artifacts like mosaic tiles and pieces of plaster that they stole during the visit. The items were sent back. They're always sent back with a letter and claiming they have derived only bad luck from stealing from this historic site.
Don't take them.
I know. And so what they've done is at the Pompeii Aquarium, they have a selection of letters on display.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is another way of telling people don't take anything.
Yeah.
Look at what it's done to all these people.
But
have you ever, do you have any superstitions about anything that you've done?
I would never take something. Because the national forests, they're the same way. If you take rocks or take, you know, those, the fortified wood or whatever.
Right. Petrified.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Fortified. But yeah, if you take that wood, you have like forever bad. I would never. Maybe as a kid, I would have.
Right. And you do hear some people who've done that and have returned it with a big letter or something. And
yeah, that's just too much.
Do you have anything goofy that you've saved?
I have a confession.
All right, here we go.
No. And this also involves Italy. And it also, similar to Brittany's story yesterday, it involves peeing.
Okay. Yeah, of course it does.
So, hey, but you weren't in Iraq in Desert Storm. No.
Rocco, tell us your story.
Okay, I got to get this off my chest today. Okay.
Just relax, tell us.
I was studying abroad in Rome in the fall of 92, and it was super fun. So a friend of mine from high school visited me because he was in Madrid. So we're like, hey, let's go out. I'll show you the sights. I'll show you the Colosseum. Let's have some wine, blah, blah, blah. So as I'm showing him the Colosseum, some other dudes showed us. They're like, hey, you know, it's closed, but if you stick your foot in this hole in the wall here and grab the gate here and you find the other foothold, you can kind of sneak in and you can be in the Colosseum. You know, and you so we're did. Like, yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, we snuck into the Colosseum and it was amazing. And here we are. And it was like the Colosseum and blah, blah, blah. And because we had been out like drinking,
sure,
I really had to go.
Where'd you pee?
Kind of on the dirt floor of the Colosseum.
Rocco.
I know. And I'm like, all the people.
Rocco.
All the ghosts of the gladiators.
Do you see how your actions, you've been stuck in radio.
Right.
Radio now for the rest of your life.
No, now that I've gotten off my chest, I see brighter things ahead.
Right.
I'm going to get into television.
Yeah. Wow. Now,
okay. That is, I would have been so afraid to do that.
Yeah. It was the 90s. You know, I just went back to Rome last summer and it's way more tightened up. I mean, everything's tightened up.
Everything's tightened up, right.
But if in 92, you know, you could do things like that. That's probably the same with this Pompeii, because I think Pompeii's been kind of tightened up a lot too. So maybe what'd she say, 2010 that she did
2005.
Yeah. I bet you things are a lot tighter now.
That's a good story. I'm glad you shared that.
I'm just glad that you got that off your chest.
Ghosts of the gladiators.
Mm-hmm. And I just pee in parking lots, so I can't add anything. The John Wayne parking lot, I remember our overnight when Lori and I went to the strip club in L.A. and had to get on the plane the next morning and had to fly out of a different airport than that was convenient. We had to stay up. And there's nowhere to go, so we went to the strip club and famously Ian called us.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori answered the phone. So we were on with Ian and Marjorie in the morning. And Lori's describing what we're watching, you know. And I'm like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, I run and grab her phone and scream, no! Because she was on the air.
I wonder if I have a clip of that somewhere.
You should find that.
I bet you I made a promo out of it.
Oh, my gosh. I think you did, Rocco. And we were so upset about it, you know, but we answered the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
She answered the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, but I'm just thinking, oh.
In some of those big cities, you have to pee outside when you have to pee outside. I'm not saying it's legal, but.
Well, they were saying this in New York, because if you're out and about, everything was closed for so long. If you had to pee, you.
Yeah. What do you do? I think that there's.
And I'm a peer.
Oh, yeah. You and I usually pee at least 17 times during the show.
The emergency pees, which have ruined us. The just in case pees. Lori and I talked about that. It's ruined me. You know, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Your bladder is getting used to it.
Well, when we come back, it's Britney's Deep Dive.
Mm.
We don't know what we're going to give. Stay with us. Britney's Deep Dive. Yesterday, it was phenomenal. So
I don't need you. I don't need that. I don't need you. Don't tell me about my failures.
I'm scared. Rocco, what do you think it's going to be? Do you have any idea?
You said it's Halloween-ish.
Yeah, we've already done food,
it's
candy.
It's going to be about the time where people found razor blades in
their
candy
apples.
Yeah.
Right, way back in 1972.
I actually almost did that, but no, I went to more just out of fear of you guys not knowing what I was talking about. I went on a hardcore number one hit Thriller.
Nice.
Oh, we're going to do a deep dive. I love it.
We're going to do a deep dive. And a lot of the stuff you might know, but we're just going to cover it all.
All right.
Just to make sure.
All right.
All right. Thriller, the album, came out November 30th, 1982. 24-year-old Michael Jackson had hits, you may know, Beat It,
mm-hmm.
Billie Jean,
mm-hmm.
Wanna Be Startin' Something, all were on this album.
Wanna Be Startin' Something. Gotta Be Startin' Something.
1 year and 2 days later, Thriller music video comes out. Now, keep in mind, it's kind of an odd time to come out. It's December 2nd, 1983. So December, they're coming out with kind of a Halloween-esque theme.
Were you guys born?
No.
Oh, I was so into this album.
I was so into it. I was in Arizona.
I was so into it.
I was at ASU. You weren't born yet.
I had three years still left to cook inside my lovely family. All right, it was directed by John Landis. He directed Blues Brothers, Trading Places, and An American Werewolf in London. They said that at the beginning of the original, Jackson, who was a Jehovah Witness, inserted a screen at the beginning of the video that stated, quote, "Due to my strong personal convictions, I wish to stress that this film in no way endorses a belief in the occult." That was on the original. Mm-hmm. I never saw that. Did you ever see that clip?
I can't remember.
For sure.
It wasn't.
I mean, this was a big deal for me because this was like fifth grade rock or mm-hmm. something, right? And this was on MTV the top of the hour, every hour. And I would sit there and just wait for it. And then I'd have my dad's VCR ready to go. And I'd be like, oh, I better record this one. And so I could watch it later. And I watched the making of with the John Landis and everything. This was
it's a big darn deal.
So the song, and it was definitely looked at like it wasn't going to be a hit because it was 5 minutes 57 seconds, almost a 6 minute song. Guess how long the music video is, Julia?
Oh, that's a really good question. So the song is that long? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the music video is 7 minutes.
I'm going to go with 15.
You got close, Rocco. Yeah. It was 14 minutes long.
Wow, I'm that far off. I only gave it an instrument.
No, but it's honestly, I did not realize it was that long, and I've seen it so many times. I just think it's that enjoyable. Vincent Price, we talked about this. He's the spooky voiceover guy. He only had 2 takes to record his voiceover, and you and I talked about this as well. He didn't take anything on the front end.
No, on the back end.
He had the option of taking something on the back end, but decided just to take that money up front, ended mm-hmm. up not making nearly as much. It was something under $10,000. They don't have the actual number.
He wouldn't have had that much time to spend it anyways. I mean, he was dead within a few years, wasn't he?
Vincent Price also talks that he tried to get a hold of Michael Jackson after that, and they said he couldn't. Guess how much this video cost to make?
To make? Okay,
1983. 14 minutes long.
I'm going to go with $5 million.
$5 million.
$500,000.
Oh, wow. I'm so off. All right.
And keep in mind, it was that money was recouped by Showtime and MTV right away, giving them the first rights to air. So they made their money back right away.
MTV was everything.
And MTV actually, at the height of its popularity, played this song 2 times an hour. So that's half of their viewing time since it's a 14-minute video.
Right.
They actually had it play in theater for 1 week so they could qualify for the Oscar. It did not win the Oscar, but it got the nomination. The female lead was played by Ola Ray. She was a former Playboy playmate, and she took it after Jennifer Beals turned down the role.
She turned it down because she was hot from Flashdance.
Yeah, she was hotness, mm-hmm. but they really wanted her to play it, especially Jackson was really pushing for that. He was a little bummed. The video itself became the first music video added to the Library of Congress National Film Registry.
That's a good factoid for Trivial Pursuit if that ever comes back.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome. It was originally called Starlight, but Jackson thought that hook wasn't good enough, so that's why he changed it to Thriller. The background vocalist wanted a real kind of haunty, spooky feel, so they recorded a lot of it in shower stalls.
For the echo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The director's wife, Deborah Landis, designed the iconic red outfit. She created only 2 versions of the memorable giant V design, the red jacket he wears. Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of them sold at auction recently for $1.8 million.
Yes.
At the premiere, now get this big old lineup showing up to your premiere, you'd be pretty pumped. Diana Ross, Warren Beatty, and Prince.
And Prince was at the premiere of this?
Yes.
Oh, I like knowing that.
And keep in mind, it probably was a great premiere to go to because you don't have to sit through a whole long movie. It's probably more based on the excitement of, hanging out, drinking, dancing. Well, at the end, it was so good that the whole crowd started chanting, encore, encore, encore. And John Landis didn't know what to do. But luckily for him, Eddie Murphy stood up and screamed, "Show the bleeping thing again."
I love it.
And so they all watched it again.
I love it. And it's giving me goosebumps.
They all cheered even harder for the second round. Thriller remains the best-selling album of all time with over 104 million copies sold.
Wow.
And that
Should we listen to it a little bit?
I could pull it up here, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
I loved, did you guys see 13 Going on 30
yeah.
with Jennifer Garner when they do the Thriller thing?
Yeah.
That is the cutest movie.
It's so cute. I once went to a dance class that was just like an aerobic dance class where we learned the dance Thriller, and it was so much fun.
I used to love aerobics. I remember learning Vogue, you know, and work on it every time you'd come back. And when you get it.
Michael Jackson was so gigantic.
Huh?
Michael Jackson was just so gigantic.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Anybody that wasn't there, it was like he was everything.
He was everything. I remember Bill and I went to his concert. Was it the Met Stadium?
Oh, the one for Bad at Met Center. Yeah, I went to that. He did like two or three nights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
It was, I thought I was the luckiest person in the world. It was so good.
Yeah, you were like staring at like the most famous person in the world.
I still remember what I wore. I do. I don't have the jacket anymore, but it was this like green, not Kelly green, but it was a linen jacket with these really kind of cool iridescent buttons, and it was fitted, and I wore this teeny tiny black mini skirt.
Mm.
I remember I said something to Bill that night. I mean, that was everything going to that concert. Rocco, you went to a lot of concerts.
I did. I was always kind of a concert kid. Yeah. But that was Met Center in what, like 87 or something?
Yeah, and he was so good.
Did it just feel like it flew by, like it was like a half second long concert?
Well, you're grinning. It was everything. It was a beautiful night. It was in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hot. And it was just like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. I mean, he was everything. Those moves he did and the music. And it was just like, oh, he really was everything, wasn't he?
He really was.
Oh, dear.
And then he got weird.
Yep. That's what happens when you don't have people around you to tell you no.
See, that's why I'm so glad you guys are around. If I didn't have you guys around, I would have such a big ego.
Look at what would happen.
And I would,
No. You know, speaking of music, what's coming up is on Saturday, November 7th on HBO, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is going to be aired. And the people inducted this year are Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. And David Grohl is going to host it and start it. But Miley Cyrus, Adam Levine, Diddy are among the stars that are going to, you know, kind of induct the people into it. Do you like watching that, Rocco, Mr. Music?
Yeah, there's I've watched a few. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to see. I mean, remember Prince doing the George Harrison song? Yeah. I mean, you get a moment like that all of a sudden where you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's other years where it's like, we talked last week, like when Van Halen got inducted and they didn't even have any of the original members there to say hello, you know?
It can
be kind of, you know, because a lot of these people like the Doobie Brothers, do we really care? I mean, are we really excited to see the Doobie Brothers finally get their Doobie Doo?
No, and it's a music hall of fame because when you say rock and roll and Whitney Houston is inducted, it's the name is wrong.
Yeah, totally. Right. That's why
I think the name is wrong.
And they've probably got to do something and call it the pop culture music hall of fame. But, you know,
it's still something. It's something.
None of us have ever been there to Cleveland, have we?
I've been by it.
Okay. I have not.
I've not been in it.
Set foot in Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, I've flown over. It's right on a lake.
Is it?
It's on one of the Great Lakes. I remember flying into Cleveland for a meeting.
Neat.
And I'm like, oh, there's a lake there. You know, oh, there you go. Cool. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, it's time to Hollywood Speak.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right, we've got a couple things to get at today for Hollywood Speak. Let's talk about nice man David Crosby. When asked to weigh in on the death of Eddie Van Halen, he kind of just said, meh.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a cranky Twitter guy.
He is a cranky man. And so he...
But when he likes something, I mean, you know, when he's passionate about something, he'll go
tell
to town about it. But yeah, he can do stuff like that too, right?
Right. And apparently, the person who wrote this said, there have been so many times over the year when all David Crosby has to do is not be a raging a-hole.
Yeah.
And he failed again.
Did not step up.
It got under a lot of people's skin. So a lot of people were tweeting back at him, blah, 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 blah. And he said, sorry, you know, people said you're crude, you're unkind, you lack empathy. He said, sorry, he does not move me that much. And then some other people were saying that was very disrespectful. You know, you have such a smug answer, blah, 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 blah. He just said, here's the deal. He didn't change the world of guitar for me. Hendrix changed the world of guitar. Nobody else really. Look, I get it. Many of you loved Van Halen. And the one time I met him, he was nice and he was talented. Meh to me means I don't care that much. And I don't. Doesn't mean he wasn't good, but he wasn't for me.
I kind of love that honesty. Also, people that get mad at that, you should say thank you, because when you're really sad, sometimes it's really nice to have somebody to give you something to be mad about, you know?
that's good.
Like,
I mean, he's right in a sense, too. I mean, Hendrix was such a change of the way people perceive that instrument. And Crosby was there with him at Woodstock, I assume. You know, they were probably tight, or, you know, at least he saw him live.
Well, more in his peer group.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 20 years later, when Van Halen's making like 80s rock, I'm sure it wasn't really his thing. But for people like me, it was like, yes, what is this? Give me more of this.
Give me more.
Isn't it kind of refreshing, though, when you get honest opinions about people after they died? Because you just always get they were a legend.
Well,
they were amazing. They were. The sun set on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like something there's nice about knowing
that. Not everybody's for everybody. I have that sweatshirt. I'm not for everybody. My brother bought it for me.
You should wear it more often.
It's really hot. I'm going to wear it in the winter. I wear it in the winter. He bought it for me. I'm not for everybody. And everybody is not for everybody.
No.
And so you're right about that, Brittany. I think that's a good thing. Okay, so Madonna's working on the screenplay for a biopic with Diablo Cody. And she tells her co-writer, Diablo Cody, that she never drank and never did drugs. And I believe her.
Really?
She was such a control freak.
Ah.
She wouldn't ever. Her whole thing was control. She controlled everything. I remember when she first started really working. I mean, she went big so fast. She
blew up
so fast with that first album.
Yeah.
And just was so, she was another one in the 80s, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's Madonna. Everything was Madonna, but she was so in control. I remember you'd see stories in People magazine about her microbiotic diet. She wouldn't eat anything. She hasn't been in the sun for years and she's worn swimsuits. She's slept in a bra for 40 years. She is so in charge. I know she drinks now, but back in the day when she was really in it, I totally believe this is true.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Just control. I know some people who can't ever
let go,
have a drink or anything, because they just don't ever want to lose any control.
That's interesting. I think it's funny because she did build a persona around party girl.
Sex,
you know,
drugs, and rock and roll, think, but
you're
she's
right.
Never. That wasn't her.
It's kind of like the first curated persona, the real curated, to the point that, like, it's hard to believe.
Interesting, yeah.
Mm. You know, someone dressed up as Madonna in the 1993 film Hocus Pocus.
Yes, they did. The mom did. Oh, my God. See?
Went as Cone Bra Madonna, headset. Madonna
great concert.
To the Halloween party.
And the kids were mortified.
Oh, I believe it. You know, last night on Dancing with the Stars, they did Back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name? She's on the talk. I can't think of her name, but she's just darling. And she did her dance to Like a Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that inside out. We knew every single Madonna song inside out. I would do the dance to Papa Don't Preach. I'd wear the outfit. I mean, Madonna, Like a Virgin, when that came out, made it through the wilderness. I mean, she was everything too.
Well, what was that?
She really was.
What was that naughty book she put out?
Sex.
Yeah.
Lori's brother has a copy of it.
And that just blows my mind that
she would have sex.
She
didn't give two bleeps about anything.
But she did.
Yeah, she did.
True.
She did. She was in control.
She's in control. She wanted to look like she was carefree and fun.
But she was in control. She was counting everything. Okay, so Tommy Lee, I think he's been struggling.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's been struggling a lot lately. But he apparently was really, really, really upset when his latest wife surprised him by wrapping his car to match the cover of his upcoming album. The album, The Explicits, come with billions and billions of F-bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's out there right now. But I think that'd be kind of cool if your wife surprised you with your new album, Color Car Wrap.
Well, let me tell you about his wife, Brittany Furlan.
Well, she was an Instagram.
She was, yeah. She was actually big into Vimeo. And
that's right, Vimeo.
The other one, what's the other famous one that everyone was? But anyways, the point is the short 15-second little clips.
Sure, the six-second videos. Yeah. What was that called?
And now she's in...
Vine.
Vine, thank you. She was a Vine star. And so when she went under for Vine, it kind of broke her heart. She has been seeking attention for decades.
And then she married this raging alcoholic.
Yes. And so she constantly is putting him on her TikTok, constantly. Kind of like surprise this and that. And I think he's like, I'm old enough to be over this. You just get this feeling where he's like exhausted from his own wife.
And they haven't been married that long.
No, they haven't. And so I think that has to do with it. It's just like, he's just over her. He's, and you can just tell. It's just like, stop. And everything's recorded and everything she's doing, you know, she'll ask a silly question and secretly be recording and stuff. And it always comes back on her TikTok. And
did you have friends for when the selfie stage was really big that always had to always document everything?
Yes. And it's exhausting.
I'm like, I'm done.
I'm done. It's why I won't join Snapchat. No. I just don't want to see anyone's floating heads anymore. I don't care.
No, just amazing amounts of photos. I'm like, this, no.
No, I don't need this.
But this is like a Rocco Hollywood speak. I'm watching this Tommy Lee video. This is fake, right?
Yeah.
This is just to promote his album.
And he's done it.
Yes.
But he scares me. He's a man. I don't like he'd fight.
Well, what, did you read the news last week where he's knocking back 2 gallons of vodka?
Yeah. He scares me. He fights with his kids, like fist fights. I think he's scary.
Well, their house kind of looks like a really expensive house that
Tommy Lee.
Yeah, Tommy Lee and Brittany Furlan. Their house looks like a very expensive house that 20-year-olds moved into, and they're now just buying random things, dogs everywhere, just blah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a hot mess.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is a hot, hot mess. Well, there we go. All right. Other things to why do you think that why would anyone, you know, we have all these days to celebrate all these different things.
Yeah.
Who would have said, I'm going to put in a bit. It should be Herpes Awareness Day.
That is a great question. I mean,
it's a good thing to think about, though, because it's the gift that you keep forever.
You know what?
The one you don't want to ever get and that you can never give away.
There's actually dating sites where exclusively
for herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have it, then you need to find
Then you want
people.
To find other people.
Because you don't think about it, but it would be a really hard conversation.
I have it with everybody. If I'm going to have relations with someone, I need stuff. Paperwork. Not that stuff, you know. But I mean, I think it's an important conversation because you can't. Then one, you're done. I know people it's happened to. It's not fun.
I say you keep on your regimen.
I am.
Get the paperwork. Get them receipts.
I need the receipts. When we come back, we have the best excuse from the lamest guy. This is My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment.